Huge land deals with foreigners that anger the local population are increasingly an issue in a number of developing countries. Ruth Meinzen-Dick has looked closely at the trend. She's a senior research fellow at the International Food Policy Research Institute. Meinzen-Dick says the World Bank recently tried to tally the international land deals underway in 81 countries, and the sum was massive.
It came to about 115 million acres. To put that in perspective, that's twice the land area of the whole United Kingdom, or more than three quarters of the total area under grains in the United States.
That's a lot of land.
So it's a very big amount of land. Now, the problem is that a lot of these deals don't actually go through in the end. And the other problem is that a lot of them, once the land is acquired by the investors, they don't actually do anything with it. So it's really hard to nail down the exact figures, but we know it's very extensive.
And of those 81 countries in the study, was there a concentration of countries in a particular part of the world?
Yes, the largest concentration is in sub-Saharan Africa, by far. A big reason for that is that much of the land in sub-Saharan Africa is under customary tenure, so it's under state control.
And how much does the corrupt African leader factor play into this?
I don't know that it's always corrupt leaders. There is a real need for investment in agriculture in Africa. The question is this the best kind of investment?
The deals, though, are often not made on equal terms. So, I mean, it's hard to imagine how these leaders actually justify, I mean, the point was made, forking over their own farmers' land to a foreign power.
It is very true that there is not an even playing field here, and that's a major matter of concern. In many cases, the land that is being given over is seen as unused, or it's unowned. That is, that it's under customary tenure, which means that the state officially holds the rights to it and can claim to reallocate those to foreign investors. Now, the problem is that very often this land is being used by farmers or pastoralists or others. The other big problem is that it's not just about land, it's about water. In many of these cases, if you are irrigating big areas of rice, for example, that may be depriving other areas of water supplies.
When these deals do go through, do farmers always suffer? Or are there examples of where this has been done in a responsible, ethical way?
They don't always suffer. They don't need to. There are ways that farmers can benefit. One of the big things that's being talked about is contract farming. So instead of evicting the farmers and then coming in with large-scale commercial farming, that it's possible to go in, provide the farmers with improved inputs and equipment under contracts, and then agree to buy the produce back from them.
What will it take for that to happen?
I think there's got to be pressure on investors on one side, and there the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization and other partners are putting forward principles for responsible agro-investment. So that's one side. But I think it's also important for the investors to realize that it's not necessarily in their own best interests to go in and evict the farmers. For one thing, they're losing the farmers' knowledge of the land. Especially in Africa, the soils are not, you know, we're not talking Midwestern plains here. These soils are not necessarily suited for large-scale commercial agriculture. And the farmers who've been there for years know sort of the microtopography. So you can tap into their knowledge. It is possible to make it a win-win situation.
Ruth Meinzen-Dick, a senior research fellow at the International Food Policy Research Institute. Great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.